CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. If you've just joined us, CliffCentral.com on this Friday morning. It is almost the end of June. Sure. I took a beautiful picture this morning of the moon, the full moon. See, look at this. Just before we started the show, well, about a half an hour before we started the show, here's a picture of the moon. It almost looks like the sun in that picture. It's like a full moon, and it's bright and it's spooky. And I sort of stuck my camera out of the window where it was chilly as hell and took this picture. But, you know, winter can be beautiful. It's not all hideous and ugly. It's got a beauty of its own. Very, very nice. All right. So much to get to today, and lots of really cool, interesting things that we've got to talk about. First things first, I just wanted to show this to you because we didn't have a chance to do it yesterday. We're getting all these great subscribe and like videos, right, from listeners of ours. Take a look at this one. This is one of my favorites. This came through just this morning from Ricardo. And he says, I'm just going to give you a little background before I play it for you. He says, I'm working in America as a farmhand. This entails long hours driving tractors around. I used to listen to 5FM when I was growing up as my mom was a huge fan. Last week, I stumbled across Cliff Central on Spotify and I had my world rocked. It's hard to find yourself laughing like a village idiot nowadays with all the negativity in the world. I love all the different segments to the show and I find myself hooked on every word, even if it is about Sia shitting his pants. I would love to hear you guys. I'd love to hear about you guys.
A week in, and he's already in on that joke.
I know. It didn't take long. I'd love to hear you guys talk about air travel possibly being stopped unless you get the vaccine. That's that vaccine passport stuff. Not sure if that's a real thing or if it's just a rumor. I've made a short video of terrible quality and audio, but I figured I'd send it anyway. I heard someone else asking people to like and subscribe. Maybe it's a thing. And people can do the same thing I did. I wish I could catch the show live every day and interact. Thanks for the great work and making our days great at work. That's from Ricky. So here it is. Let me play Ricky for you quickly because this is awesome. This is probably one of the best ones we've got so far.
Hi, guys and girls and confused people. If you guys like the content on this channel, find it informative, give them a subscribe, hit the bell notification to get notifications when a new episode is uploaded into the interweb, and give them a thumbs up to let them know that you enjoy the content so that they can continue to make new content. Thanks, guys. Bye!
Isn't that awesome? First of all, if you couldn't see it and you were only listening, he's on a tractor. And he was filming this while he's on the tractor in the Landeraya, somewhere in America. And
on a combine harvester.
No, it was definitely a tractor. But there he is. So, Ricky, well done. Leanne?
That is so cool. Guys, girls, and confused people. And then do you think we should perhaps start shouting our way through the podcast so that it's louder for him to listen to on the tractor?
Yeah.
Yes, we will speak like this now.
Yeah, so that you don't have problems hearing us.
This is for you, Ricky.
Yeah, thanks, Ricky. Nice of you to do that. All right, so we had a discussion a couple of weeks ago about how The Masked Singer is, Sia thinks it's the most stupid show in the world, but I love it. I love The Masked Singer. I think it's an awesome show and I can't get enough of it.
So drawn out and so American.
It's a great show. I love it. And stop being so negative, negative. Just be positive, positive.
Positive.
So this show.
Oh, you know what?
The show The Masked Singer what they do.
Come on.
What they do is these people go on The Masked Singer, and it's an actual singer. It's someone who's actually got like a couple of hits, and then they go undercover and they sing different songs. And then eventually they reveal who it is, and it's a whole production. It's very well done. And the audience, I mean, I don't know how people, if you're a real music fan, you will be able to tell just by listening to someone who they are. You'll be able to hear the voice, right? I would think so.
I don't know. With some, it's hard. You know, like Patti LaBelle has been on The Masked Singer, and I think she has a very distinct voice that you can pick up. But I would have to say their casting is really, really great. So sometimes they have, you know, people from the 80s who were child stars and singers who you don't think of top of mind. And then, so, you know, it's so they get people who are slightly on the sides fringe. of society.
They're not going to get the biggest singer of the moment, because that person's not going to go on the Masked Singer. You know, they've got a reputation to uphold. These are mostly has-beens. But I mean, again, if you're a music fan, you'll know who's who. But anyway, the reason I bring it up is because Sia thought it was a bullshit show, and he said he doesn't like it. He's very much against that show. He's not a fan at all. In fact, he's even written to the producers to say, stop producing this shit. I can't stand it. That's what I heard.
I still stand by it. It's a ridiculous show.
But there's a new show that Sia does like, and you know, we're always looking for good suggestions of what to watch. And it's called Sexy Beasts or something. I haven't seen this.
Yeah.
What is it?
I have a bit of a trailer. Let's play that. You'll let me know if you want me to cut it.
No, go. Let's do this.
I want to get married. I want to have babies before I'm like 26. Do you have health insurance?
Oh, God.
Welcome to the strangest blind date ever.
Hey, how you doing? Damn.
How you doing?
Could you fall in love with someone based on personality alone?
What is your ideal woman?
Personality for me is everything.
Ass first, personality second.
You're the best looking devil I've ever seen.
This is really weird right now.
Would you count this as a weird experience for you?
I like your fin.
So wow. What if I pick you and I'm not what you expect underneath?
Oh my God!
I've kissed this girl and I don't know what she looks like.
I'm literally just like in love with the moment.
Pull.
Oh! Whip it.
Wow.
Oh!
Time has come.
This is going to be really tough for me.
I can't choose both of you.
I've made my decision.
My sexy beast is...
It's actually really clever.
So there's interspecies relationships happening on my grounds. I won't stand for it.
So it's basically a show where people have these prosthetics. They put on these...
What does the world come to?
No, it's clever. I mean, I would be lost in a show like this because I'm so superficial. But it's a show basically where these contestants get their faces covered completely in prosthetics and in masks.
Yeah.
You can't tell what the person looks like. They're dressed up like a fox or like a dolphin or like a tin man from The Wizard of Oz. So you cannot see what they look like at all. And
I'm sold.
You like the idea. I mean, it's a good idea. I couldn't be on this show.
Call me old fashioned, but yeah. What the fuck?
I'm sold. I find it so interesting. And this is for all of those people who say, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not superficial. You know, for me, what matters is on the inside. BS. Fine. If what really matters is on the inside, go on a date with someone who you can't see and then see what happens. You know, those people who say, what are they? Sapiosexuals. Oh, it's just someone's mind.
I fall in love with someone's mind.
Sexy to me. Okay.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they've go on obviously a date with chosen... a person
like this, and then you'll have an ogre.
They've obviously chosen either really bad looking or really hot people.
Yes.
There's not going to be anyone middle of the line, because there needs to be a shock factor, especially with a show like this.
Well, maybe it's someone really good looking, but like dumb as nails.
It's all about contrast.
And then someone really bad who's really smart.
So if the producers know what they're doing, what they will do is they'll dress someone really hot up and make them look really terrible in this prosthetic makeup and everything. You know, not like it, because they're playing a character. So it's not as if they make them ugly humans. They make them creatures. So it actually, the person looks like they're a cat or a bunny rabbit or something. And then when they take that off at the end of the show, when they're revealed, there must be a big, because the person's actually really attractive and you would never have guessed. So I think it's a great idea. I would hate it though. I'd hate the show. I'd be completely, I wouldn't have my bearings. I wouldn't know what to do, because I lose all ability to be charming or interesting around someone I find unattractive. I cannot.
Oh, my Lord.
No, it's very sad. It's really a problem. I am so superficial. I will only turn on my sense of humor, my ability to tell a good story, interesting facts, you know, come across as someone who's genuinely interested in the other person. if I find them attractive. I'm talking in a date situation. If I sit down opposite someone, this is why I could never go on any of these apps, because it'll never work. I won't know until I see them in person, because you know these apps, they're full of lies. And then you meet them, and I wouldn't know what to say. If they were hideous, I'd be like, oh, I think I left my wallet. Gotta go. I'd be the most boring person you've ever met.
Why is your voice gone just because your wallet is gone?
Yeah, I'd say, I don't get my wallet. I forgot my wallet. I promise you,
I've walked home from a blind date before.
Oh, that's bad.
I said I was just going to the bathroom. No, what? I pitched up, and he was dressed in the orange outfits that Buddhists wear.
Oh, wow.
He had a shoulder vibe going on with fabric, lots of fabric. He was swathed in fabric.
Yes. Mm. So he was actually a Buddhist monk?
He judged me when I ordered a meat dish.
Oh, yeah, you see.
I said I was going to the loo, and I just walked home.
Yeah, that was never going to work.
Leanne.
Yeah.
At least have the decency to say thank you, but no, thank you.
I have
to
keep
him waiting.
He was so judgmental.
I have to show you a really good-looking family quickly while we're talking about being superficial. So these are full disclaimer, these are actually like third or fourth cousins of mine, and we're not by any means closely related, and we didn't grow up together, or we don't know each other like the back of our hands, but we have mutual ancestors.
Gareth, is this a disclaimer for incest?
No, there was no incest. Don't panic. But these three girls are absolutely divine, and I obviously, I know them, but I don't know them as well as you might know your first
not
cousins.
In the biblical sense.
No, certainly not in the biblical sense, but not as much as you would know your first cousins or your brother and sister or any of that stuff. But these three, and they're all three in London, but they grew up in Cape Town. I want to show you pictures of them because they are such good-looking girls, and I'm so proud of what they're doing at the moment. They are they've been featured in a magazine just recently, and one of them is a famous model now. So here's the first one.
I can't tell if you're being genuine or sarcastic.
No, okay, here's the eldest sister. This is Kitty. Look at her.
Woo!
Doesn't she look magnificent?
Yes, girl.
She looks really good, right? And then she's got two younger sisters who are twins. And these girls all grew up in Cape Town. And here are the sisters, Eliza and Amelia. They posed like that.
Look together.
Are they twice? So they posed for this Tatler magazine in the UK. And they, their father's very well known, and their cousin is kind of important. So their first cousin, that is, because they are the daughters of Earl Spencer. Right?
Oh, Earl Spencer is Diana's
brother. So these are Princess Diana's nieces. And I'm going to show you the pictures again, because I think Kitty looks quite a lot like Diana. She's got a lot of that going for her, don't you think?
Yeah, she does. She's got the doughy eyes.
Mm. No, she looks so I thought, there's a really good looking
girl. Those cheekbones.
Anyway, their mum is also an absolutely beautiful woman. So they all three get a lot of their looks from their mum as well. So I just thought,
Do you like my halo?
You've got the sun directly behind you. How did you get that right?
It's Jesus. He wants me as a sunbeam.
Do you still remember that song, Leanne?
Jesus don't want me for a sunbeam.
No, that's the Nirvana one. I'm talking about the actual one that you learned at school.
From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Oh, which one?
No, it goes, Jesus wants me for a sun. Beam to shine. Beam. There we go. You do know it's to shine for him each day.
For him each day. Yes.
Na, 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 na. There we go.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Very good. What are you laughing
what
at, still,
do this information up?
See, it keeps breaking up for me on my side. I can't tell what he's saying.
Yeah, mine too.
What I thought.
I don't see us dying on his connection there. I know it's his last show and he wants to leave us without too much of a fuss, but actually being present might be a help.
There you are.
Clearly.
All right. So a couple of things. Monica says, Gareth, do you only like tall blonde girls who are slightly masculine? Oh, come on. No ever like us short, dark Mediterranean girls. No, I've actually dated a Portuguese girl, so I'm not averse to Mediterranean. And she was.
But you pretty. Do like the tall blonde.
I think I have a type, yeah. But I don't know about the masculine. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that. What's she talking about there? Never really dated.
No, so the strong jawline.
Not really.
I'm not against what she's saying. I get what she's saying.
All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Lee Han, says Gen X this morning. Isn't that great?
Han.
Yeah, Han. Leanne Han. All right, Sia, what happened to your connection? Did you bug out on us? You're in the studio, right?
Yeah, so I have no cooking clue what's up, but I think I should be back now.
Yeah, you are, but you're still a bit patchy. Mm. All right. So anyway, we've got to watch this show
maybe
called
it's Jesus.
Sexy Beasts, because you never know what people look like until right at the end of the show, and then you'll see whether or not they're beautiful or not, which is obviously something that a superficial person like me likes about these shows. And Lehanna's got a halo of Jesus behind her, if you're wondering what's happening there, because the Lord is with her every step of the way. That's our Leanne. Blessed,
amen, brother.
Blessed by sunbeams from the Lord. It's very good. Okay, there are a lot of people panicking about the president and him making another announcement this weekend about another level that's going to come.
Guys, I must just say that. Okay, so you know my cousin who's a pediatric surgeon.
Yes,
she's just contracted COVID for the second time.
Oh Jesus, really?
And
oh, no.
Yeah.
Right.
And you can hear the fear in her voice this time.
Was she vaccinated?
Yes, she's been vaccinated.
And she still got it a second time.
Yeah. And this round, guys, is like out of this world. You can actually hear the fear in her voice.
Yeah, I hear fear.
People are dropping like flies.
I hear fear in a lot of people's voices, and I'm not responding to it. I'm sorry. You could say that all you like. If you're the kind of person who likes to propagate fear and you're the kind of person who responds to it, then you go ahead. I'm not that kind of person. I'm not going to take this the same way that you do, Leanne. And I'm also not going to stop living my life because there's a very contagious version of the flu flying around. I said this in March last year. I'm staying consistent to my point. And I think I've already had it. I had it last year in May or whatever. I don't know because I never went for tests. But it's very strange to me that she would get it again after being vaccinated. That's odd. That's really odd.
So it's what happens. There was a doctor at Morningside Clinic who's been vaccinated, and they've just passed away from COVID.
Yeah, you see, I don't want to hear these stories. I've got to be honest with you. One of the things we've got to ask Dr. Hanan on Monday is this idea of compassion overload, because. You know, there is this coronavirus going on, and I even mentioned this the other day, that there are people who are on Facebook are posting like daily updates about their health condition. I mean, I saw Rams Mabote has been doing this, Mark Pilgrim has been doing this, Brent Lindekew's been doing this. They're all posting these, and they're just three examples. They're not the ones who are irritating me. But those are three famous people who have been posting nonstop updates about their journey with COVID. Yeah, like that's what they're actually calling it in some cases. I find the whole thing completely bizarre. It's become like all some people can talk about. It's the way all conversations start with some people. I'm just not that into it. I don't like talking to people about their maladies and their ills. It's not fun, and I'm out of compassion. I'm completely unable to be empathetic anymore about it. I really am. My reserves are empty. And when I hear stories like this, it upsets me. I'm thinking about you know, all the sacrifices that people have already made in their lives. And as far as I can tell, our death toll numbers are still in the 50 to 60,000 category, right? I don't think they've gone over 60,000 yet.
Sure.
If anybody knows whether they're over 60 or even over 70,000, please let me know. Because this stuff, if it isn't, it's all propaganda. And I know individuals have their stories, and everybody only remembers the stories of the people who've died or something terrible's happened. They don't remember. Nobody remembers. Right. Nobody goes around
something
saying
something close to them.
Nobody goes, oh, well, I recovered perfectly and I wasn't even sick. I was totally asymptomatic, because it's not a story. And I almost get the impression, like, there's this one girl I know, and she's been for, I kid you not, for 5 tests to check if she's got it in like a space of 2 weeks, 5 tests. It almost,
oh.
I get the impression she wants to have coronavirus. I get the impression she feels left out, and she actually wants attention for this. And I think that's extremely unhealthy. It's really not good. You talk about mental health, and that's one of the things that we'll hopefully address with Hanan on Monday. I'm out of compassion. I don't have any more. Don't talk to me about coronavirus. I'm sorry if that's insensitive, but it's not going to get any better if you ask me any more about it. Can't do
but
it.
I guess it's for each person to figure out for themselves. I had a weird encounter with my mother earlier this week. She had surgery a few months ago, so now needed to go into hospital, not just the doctor's practice, but into hospital for a checkup this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I really was so anxious for her.
Yeah.
And I kept on saying, you know, now they're rolling out vaccines for over 60 year olds, over 60, maybe you should go. And up until she flat out, like, had the biggest blowout on me. She goes, listen here, if you mention it one more time, and I need to remind you again, I am 59. I am not going to register because I'm not 60.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Well, my parents are going today. They're actually going today to get their vaccines. They've decided they're going to go and do it. I mean, my parents are over 60. I said to them, look, I don't know. I mean, you know, you could go on the internet and you could go down a rabbit hole, and there's stories about how bad these vaccines are, and then there's stories about people who are absolutely fine. I said to my folks, it's got nothing to do with me. I have no role to play in this. It's entirely up to you. You decide. If you want to go for a vaccine, you go for it. My sister is dead against them. She says the vaccines are dangerous as hell and you shouldn't get them at all.
Uh-huh.
My brother is all for them. And I'm just stuck in the middle saying, you know what? You do whatever you feel is right. So my folks are off today, this morning, to go and get theirs. And I will report back. You know, either I'm an orphan on Monday or everything was fine.
My parents have had the first vaccine. But what's interesting is that in the UK in particular, where they've already finished their vaccine drive and most people are vaccinated, these vaccination dates that you get to go when it's your age group have become like the new dating app. And if you think about it, you're in a room with people who are your age, who think like you do, if they're there to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
And they're just sitting around for hours waiting. Mm. So it's become like the perfect pickup place.
That's interesting. That makes it exciting. I mean, at least there's something to look forward to then. But they're going for their jab today. So I'm, you know, I think it's entirely up to you. You decide if you want to get this or not. If someone says to me, and I think I've been consistent about this too, if someone says to me you can't fly internationally, for example, unless you've had the vaccine, well then I'll get it. But I don't feel the need to go and do it now. And I believe that the processes are very efficient. I know lots of people who've been for their vaccinations and had a very pleasant experience. It's easy to do. It's not a stressful situation for anybody. They know what they're doing. You either get the Pfizer or the Johnson & Johnson or whatever it is that you get, and they tell you which one you're getting. So let's see. I'm curious to kind of hear from my folks how the experience is. Here's Matt Alford, who says, we were due for a holiday to Dominican Republic. And just today, the UK government has made the DR a red list country. That's Dominican Republic. So plans are now canceled. That deserves sympathy. Yeah, you see, Matt,
Oh, no.
That's horrible because you've spent this money. And now you you can't go on your holiday. I think that's really, that's where government should stay the hell out of people's lives. You should be able to travel wherever you want. I don't believe that you should ever be. I don't even think we should have passports, frankly. Why should your government and another government have some agreement or disagreement in order to let you come and go? You should be able to, in terms of travel, go anywhere you like, and there shouldn't be any issue with that. I'm not a fan of these bizarre and capricious rules that governments set up against their citizens, not for their citizens, against them.
There's a very important comment that's just come in from Jane Wolfe.
Yes.
I think you should read it.
Yes. Leanne, I just want you to know that I think you are just the loveliest.
It's very important. But actually, the one below it is really important too.
I registered, says Sandra. Please. I registered for the jab on the 7th of May, and I'm still waiting, and I'm 70.
That's crazy, wow. Man.
Yeah, Sandra, I hope they sort you out soon because, look, I think if you – certainly I'm no doctor and I wouldn't ever profess to be in a position to give anyone advice, but I have spoken to a few doctors. Most of them say, look, if you're over 60, get the thing because it'll at very least stop you from having to go to hospital, be put on a ventilator or any of that shit if you do get COVID. That's the understanding I have. But anyone under the age of – 50 or 40 or 30, it's silly and unnecessary. That's in terms of what I'm hearing. But again, take your own advice from the people you trust. Speak to one or two doctors, make your mind up and do whatever's right for you. I see Bitcoin's back up at 34,500. Sorry, Sia? Sia, you so?
Sorry, I said stay away from WebMD.
Oh, God, no, don't do that. Your WebMD is the worst. That's the worst thing you can do, right? Go on the internet and get yourself a diagnosis because everything on the internet's going to tell you have cancer. Everything. If you have symptoms like I had a sore.
Or the dark web. Stay away from that, too.
Well, I don't even know how to get on the dark web, but I agree with you. I woke up on Tuesday or Wednesday morning with like a really sore shoulder. Like I obviously slept badly. And if you go on the internet and you like look for stuff, it'll tell you you've got a tumor. It'll tell you you've got five days to live.
So remember, Jesus. Remember I spoke about my itchy, peely hands.
Mm.
And I happened to Google, because it's been months and months now, I happened to Google itchy hands and it pointed to liver failure. I was like, what?
Eczema. Yeah. Well, it could be liver failure, considering what you used to with your days and nights.
I was hoping that you'd go, oh, that's ridiculous, but okay.
No.
Have your itchy hands?
Thanks for that.
Have they got
there's
better?
There's a meme that...
Are they better now?
No, they're the same. They've been the same for months.
Mm.
Years.
Show us your hands. Show us your hands. Let's have a look.
Oh, no, they look normal now.
Oh, okay. I was hoping to see something revolting.
No, they look normal now. It's stabby. Only when I get out when I get out the shower.
And ashy. You don't want to be
but
ashy.
But there's a meme that's circulating that speaks to this though, and it's reminded me. In these crazy COVID times, haven't you ever woken up with just a scratchy throat?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start having those internal conversations with yourself. Just a little still in your throat, then you go, oh Jesus.
The whole thing here for me is when that happens, the whole thing for me is, okay, who have I been with? I've been with my mom, that's a problem. I've been with my elderly aunt, that's a problem. So I tend to think about other people.
I do too, but it happened to me last night. I was lying in bed about to go to sleep and I was like, throat feels a bit scratchy. God, I hope it's not COVID.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, yeah, this is what everybody's going through, so it's not just you, I promise. Okay, here's a story for you, Leanne. This is from Sean, okay? And they've specially said we've got to tell this story while you're on the show. So I recently ended up at a friend's house after some exercise, as it logistically made sense to freshen up there rather than going all the way home and back to that area. He pointed me in the direction of the bathroom and said, there should be a clean towel hanging up in there. I thought nothing of it, and I had a really good shower. I grabbed the towel, which was dry, giving me no illusions that it may not be clean. I started drying myself, legs, arms, back, etc., and then proceeded to cup the towel in my hands to dry my face and hair. Good God, The instant the towel touched my face, the smell was overwhelming.
I was certain that
that part of the towel had either been used to dry a sweaty armpit, which didn't get enough soap lather in there, or my friend's ass crack. I was now very hesitant to use any part of the towel on my body, let alone anywhere near my face. Still half wet, I ditched the towel and proceeded to unravel the good part of a toilet roll to complete the job. I now had a copious amount of wet and damp toilet paper to dispose of. Reluctant to throw it all in the toilet at once in fear of blocking it, I decided to divide it into three piles and proceeded to flush the evidence. Three loud flushes later, in a very small apartment, my friend must have thought I'd taken a huge dump and I couldn't get it to flush. You know, those ones that take you three flushes to get rid of. We used to call those a Mugabe because it just won't go away. Walking out of the bathroom into the main part of the apartment was intense. We both looked at each other and I didn't say anything for about 10 seconds, after which all I valued saying was, thanks, I think I need to get going. So the moral of the story is, only accept a folded towel if you go anywhere, if you use anyone else.
Even the folded ones can be dodgy. I've experienced this, and some towels... And this all comes up because I mentioned that some people's towels stink. And some people's towels are even folded and come out of the cupboard and they still smell like wet dog.
Yeah, that's that. It's that because they haven't dried them properly once, and then it gets that kind of moldy, miffy smell. It's disgusting.
It's so horrible. Yeah, and you've got to really go home and re-shower because it's just so terrible.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And you know what? There's this little point in time where you could turn it around and you could open the bathroom door and go, dude, this towel's manky. You know, can I have another one?
How often do you wash your towel? Because I shower every single day and I have two towels. And what I do is I use the one, then I use the other. Then I use the one, then I use the other. And then after a week, I put them both out. I wash them and then I put them both out in the sun because that's the only way to really prevent them getting like
that. Yeah. But the problem with that is that they end up a little bit crispy. So what you're supposed to do is leave them out in the sun, but in the last 10 minutes or so, put them into the tumble dryer just to soften them up.
Okay.
But I wash my towels after like three uses. I don't alternate because I've got four towels that I use for different parts of my body.
Oh, this is interesting. Women do this.
The whole enchilada.
Men use the same. We use the same towel on everything. Well, I do anyway. I mean, women don't. You have like different towels for face, different towels for like lower body.
Hair.
And everything's different. So you have four, huh?
Yeah. And hand. Yeah. So I've got a towel that I use to dry my hands when I've washed my hands. And then I've got a towel that I use to wrap up my hair when I get out the shower. I've got a separate towel to dry my face. And then I have a separate towel for my body because the body one touches certain parts that I wouldn't want my face on.
Okay.
your hand is in your hand towel that's hanging like on the bathroom wall, right?
Yeah.
Use that when you wash your hands.
Okay, then that doesn't seem too ridiculous to me.
Then I also have different face cloths. One is for drying my glasses. The other one's for washing my face. If I usually don't use it, but if I just feel like I'm freshening up, then I have that one.
Boy, we've got such interesting comments here from people about these. First of all, MM says, always air dry your face. It's good for the skin. What, like with a blow dryer or just... You just let the
air dry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because like if you blew hot air in, that wouldn't be good for your skin, obviously. Gen X says vinegar helps to get rid of smells in towels. That's interesting. That's useful. Okay. We must all put that to use if you have smelly towels. Katu Cat says towels should be washed every 4 days. You see, we're getting useful tips here. Eleutheria says she likes a crispy towel, the kind you were describing.
Yeah, I've got friends who do as well, especially when you do the whole drying your back thing and it's nice and crispy. It'll give you a good back scratch.
Do you think Hanan Uses the same towel to dry himself, says Frank. Hannon's been a bit of a topic of conversation this morning on the show.
Hannon doesn't even use towels. He uses silk samples from a sample fabric sample book.
And then this is from Cabello says, see,
I
don't act surprised. You have a lotion for every different part of your body. All right. Very good.
I'm not. I actually think it's a good idea. Maybe I should start investing in more towels.
Mm. Yeah. You can never have enough towels. It doesn't matter how. I reckon you also have to replace them after a while. You can't use the same towel you were using 3 years ago.
3 years? I've got some from when I was still living at home 20 years ago.
Really? They must be threadbare by now.
Leanne?
No, they're good. I bought good quality. I used to work at Stutterford's in the Manchester section, which was the linen and towel section. Mm. So I have good towels.
Hmm. All right.
You know, what's an embarrassing story to end off our time together with? But talking about maintaining and upkeeping yourself, I feel like I have really held off on this for a very long time, but I finally had to accept that I need to buy a nose hair trimmer.
Oh, those are very important. Very important.
Because I just think it's a slippery slope from here. Yeah. But so that was my hesitation and not getting it for the longest of time. But now I've had to.
Leanne, which nose hair trimmer do you regard as the best one?
The one for men. It really gets hard hairs.
Can I tell you what you got to do?
Because I usually go to a spa or something, or a beautician to get it done.
Yeah.
But over the past couple of weeks, I found myself looking in the rearview mirror or just while I'm brushing my teeth going, is that what I think it is? So,
I plucked my nose hair once. Oof. And I thought I was I was going to be squint forever.
You actually start crying, right? Yeah. You start crying.
The pain.
It's so sore. Yeah. So I go to, we talked about this. Remember we did a feature with them in lockdown last year with Sorbet Man.
Yeah.
And I go there. Now I go to them for nose hairs, which is like what every 2-3 months. And then I go for the haircut.
You have to get your ear hairs done.
Ear hair. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, when you become a very old man, then you need to go for those ear hair. Thank God I'm not at that stage yet, but it's coming. And then they actually do the wax in your ear as well, because is there anything more
gross?
My
dad has ear hairs. Tufts, yeah. Like Jesus. Huge tufts coming out.
It's fucking appalling, isn't it? Yeah, that's what you've got to look forward to.
I'm clearly getting to that point now. If I've invested in a nose hair trimmer,
it's coming.
Microfiber towels are the best for hair, says Jasmine.
Especially if you've got curly hair.
Yes, very good. All right, we're going to speak to George Meany in a moment or two. He's obviously going to join us as he does on a Friday. I believe George actually had COVID. We'll find out from him how he's doing. Because even though I said I've run out of compassion, not so much for people I actually know. So let's see with George how he's coping with it. Because I actually heard from him on Tuesday or Wednesday, and he said he doesn't know if he's going to be able to do the show on Friday. He was feeling that shitty.
Yeah,
so we'll find out just now. Yeah, so
and he's like super healthy.
He is. He's a healthy dude. He's not in the category of the comorbidities like so many people are. But you can't tell with this.
Snacking on what does he eat?
He eats a barrel of cabbage. No, barrel of broccoli.
Broccoli,
every day.
Yeah, that's his thing.
I
don't know. You know, there are some things that. By the way, I've told you that I've finally discovered eggs, right? Like I know this is stupid.
Excuse me.
This eggs is ready. So. You know, I've never been shy about the fact that I'm really shit in the kitchen and I don't know anything about cooking. You know that, right? You know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my sister's moving at the moment into a new place, and she made me eggs the other day when I went there to visit her. And she just fried an egg, which is easy enough to do. You know, you put some butter or some whatever in the pan and you crack the egg and you make a fried egg and you put it on some toast. It's a very healthy meal. It's a very easy thing to do. So I knew how to do that, but I've never, and this is embarrassing, never actually bought eggs in the shop. So I got to 43 years old without ever knowing where in the shop they keep the eggs. And I went to my local, local store. And it took me, I'm so embarrassed. I couldn't ask the people where the eggs are because they'll look at me like you guys are looking at me now. So I spent a good deal of time just walking around trying to find where they keep the eggs because I thought it wouldn't be near the vegetables. It might be near the dairy products. I'll go and check there. And then it's kind of on its own. And I bought, and I didn't know how many to buy or what the difference is between the extra large ones and the large ones. But I've pretty much been eating eggs for breakfast. And I mean, I can now also make omelets, very easy stuff. You know, no higher grade stuff here for me, but I didn't know where the eggs are kept in the supermarket. And I thought that might be interesting to share with you this morning.
I know that you will not experience any pain by me saying this, but I couldn't marry you. It's a deal breaker. If you can't find eggs in a stall, that is a deal breaker.
I've never, until 2 weeks ago, I had never bought eggs, ever.
Gareth, then I'm thinking about everything that needs eggs that you clearly then have never made or done. You've never made flapjacks, pancakes.
So
you've never...
This is how bad it is.
If something needs to be egg-washed it goes into an oven.
I've been living in this house for 11 years. Before that, I lived in an apartment for another 5 or 6 years. Before that, it was... So for, you know, the fridge that I've had, and I've had this fridge for maybe 12, 13 years now, it's got an egg tray. But I threw that out because I use it to put butter and other shit in. And I now don't have an egg tray, so I have to keep them in their little boxes. That's how bad it is.
Okay. I don't know.
Sorry. I can't let it go. I mean, I have to tell you. I have to share these things. Sorry. There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
All right. First of all, George Meany is ready to join us this morning. George is, he's a survivor of COVID. So if Bulela was here to, oh my God, you also had COVID. How's it, George? Did you have COVID? Is that true?
You're muted, George.
You're muted over there. Unmute yourself.
Damn. Morning. No, I actually didn't, Gareth. I really thought I'd... So what had happened was on Sunday night, I started feeling a bit icky.
Yeah.
And you know, when you start to get these symptoms, which are symptoms for anything. So if you look on that list of symptoms, if you get any of those symptoms, those symptoms are across almost every freaking thing that you can get. So anyway, I started developing symptoms, and I've had 3 COVID tests in the last year and a bit.
Okay.
Monday morning I woke up and I really wasn't. I was feeling out of it, but Tuesday morning I had body aches, I had leg cramps. I wasn't coughing. I was vomiting.
Jesus.
I had diarrhea. I had this dull headache for 3 days that I couldn't.
You must
understand.
Have really splattered the bowl.
It was bad, 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 bad. It's the worst stomach bug that I think I've ever had. Tuesday afternoon, let me tell you, there is this brilliant service. And when I say this, these guys are going to be inundated and I feel sorry for them, but they were good. And it's called travac.co.za. travac.co.za. They come to your house to do it COVID and they're cheaper than the normal. It's 750 Rand as opposed to 850 Rand everywhere else.
Okay.
And they come to your house.
All right.
So they come to my house Tuesday afternoon. They do the COVID test. Another thing that they do that I will use them again is they do the COVID throat test.
Oh, so you don't have that thing
nose.
In the nose. Yeah, that's...
Oh.
Jesus.
She actually sat down and said to me, the nurse, she said, do you want the throat test or the nose test? I said to her, is there a throat test? But I knew there was a throat test because my wife had had a COVID test a couple of days before that, and she had the throat test.
The long and short of it is, okay, I don't have to feel sorry for you now. You had a stomach bug.
I had a bad stomach bug.
But you, as Leanne says, you must have really splattered the bowl, and then Katu Cass.
Did they give you tempezoline? Only give you tempezoline when you really splatter the bowl.
And Katu Cat says, thanks, Leanne, while I'm eating my bacon and eggs. All right, George, I believe your team have put together a little video for Sia on his last show. So can we play that now? Do you want to do that now?
Oh, no.
Yes, let's do that.
All right, here it is. Sia, guys. This is a farewell present from George and the team at Auto Trader. All right. Oh, that's funny. That's very sweet. They basically
that's so cute.
They superimposed Sia's face onto a bunch of famous movies and other clips, and then there's a very sweet little note at the end.
Sia, you look like Julius Malema in one of those.
Well, I don't know.
Thank you, George. Thank you, Auto Trader team. You've made my dream of driving a manual car possible.
All right, here we go.
We'll miss you, Sia. You're welcome.
All right, George, what have you got on your agenda for this morning?
So this really makes me mad, Gareth. Besides all the other crime that's going on in South Africa and in the world, and government officials being corrupt.
Yes.
Can you trust the military?
No.
So 6 soldiers were recently arrested for smuggling stolen vehicles over the Limpopo River. Soldiers were responsible at the Beitbridge border to defend and protect our country between 2017 and 2019.
Yeah, and meanwhile they're selling hijacked cars across the road, and they got 15 grand a piece, I think.
Yes, 15,000 rand a piece for these cars. Now, you ask yourself, if a hijacker had shot someone and killed someone, and does this person have a conscience that they're getting 15 grand for somebody potentially having been hurt? It absolutely makes me mad, because the chain reaction, when you're further down the chain in a crime, maybe you don't feel so bad, but you might have been responsible for somebody getting seriously hurt.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, and those people should be put in jail. It's just disgusting that they're aiding and abetting criminals who may have killed people, ordinary innocent South Africans. Disgusting.
Exactly, it's disgusting. So I just don't think it's acceptable. Please. I mean, you can't now trust the military.
Fire them, put them in jail.
So in the United States of America, don't know if this is in Florida, Sia. No, it's actually, where was this? This was in Austin, was it?
Little Florida, though.
a large black bear was the behind-the-scenes culprit of car break-ins. They couldn't understand. These cars were being broken into, and there were prints all over the car. There were scuff marks, and the car was trashed inside, and there was a series of cars. And it turns out that a bear was a serial offender to car break-ins.
I saw the video.
I've seen these things on video where they actually lift the handle with their paws.
Mm. Mm. It's amazing. This bear was busy taking stuff out of people's cars. How fantastic. I'm telling you, animals, they're not that far behind us. It won't be long before bears are driving cars down the road.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. This story absolutely fascinated me. You know, I'm a fan of electric cars, and so are you, Gareth. In my Jaguar I-Pace, when you take your foot off the accelerator, you don't need to use the brake because it's got regenerative braking.
Right.
So when you take your foot off the accelerator, the car brakes, the brake lights go on and everything, and it's as if you're braking. And but what I didn't know was that they tested a Tesla at 112 kilometers per hour being towed. So the car was switched on and they towed the Tesla.
Jeez.
The battery charged as fast charger rates when being towed.
So in other words, just by turning the wheels around, it charged itself.
Yes, at fast charger rates.
So in other words, if you ever break down an electric car, just let someone tow you for a little while and you'll get your charge right back up, and then you can unhook yourself and keep going.
Exactly.
Nice.
So, you know.
Nice.
I think it's an interesting little tidbit.
Very good.
You don't have to carry a generator in the boot.
Nice. I like it.
Just flag down the next car that drives past.
I just hook onto them and then let them pay with their petrol for you to charge your electric car.
Exactly.
sounds fair. All right.
Sounds fun. And then finally, a Johannesburg woman. I don't know if you saw this. There was a citizen's arrest. A Johannesburg woman slams a phone thief into a car. So this Johannesburg woman, she nearly lost her cell phone with a long-fingered passerby. Mm-hmm. Security cameras actually caught this footage. It took place in May this year, and she stopped this phone thief. As she was strolling down the road, a would-be phone thief got out of another car. Mm-hmm. And when got shoulder to shoulder with her, tried to steal her phone, and she turned around and defended herself and slammed this phone thief into the car. So
nice.
Phone thief then abandoned him. Abandoned her.
I love it.
Wow.
Good. That's a hero. Give that woman the order of Mapungubwe immediately.
Did you guys talk about the fact that Cyril Ramaphosa's iPad was stolen?
Where's my iPad? Yeah. My iPad is gone. Yeah. Where's my iPad?
I just had it.
Please, can I have it back?
Please, can I have my iPad back?
I don't know where it went.
I don't know what's happened. What a pathetic display.
Eeyore.
Yeah, Eeyore, exactly.
Imagine he just slammed someone into like a desk when he found the iPad.
No, it's horrible. Well, George, thank you very much.
I wonder if presidents have to go on like Secret Service training or something.
This one clearly has.
I highly doubt it in our case.
It was really sad. It's like, you know, if you take something away from a toddler and it's like, where's my sucker? I had my sucker. Someone took my sucker. Pathetic. All right, George, thanks so much. We will catch up with you next week. Awesome stuff.
Cheers.
There's George Meany. All right, so Sia, we're going to see you anon.
Oh, Sia.
Oh, guys.
You know, you really, you know, I don't have many gay friends.
Well, that's a great way to start a fucking conversation.
That's what it boils down to. Yeah.
And I love having gay friends. So please stay my friend.
So
I miss you sorely.
In other words, Leanne just needs an accessory, so she'd love you to stick around for that purpose.
That's just what she needs, and I'm happy to oblige. Absolutely, I will, Leanne.
So Sia, I mean, you're going to do all kinds of exciting things now, and you have no self-limiting beliefs, which I think is like a superpower, and it's going to just make everything really exciting for you no matter what you end up doing. And I think that the best part of working with you is that you there's so many dots that didn't need connecting. You're smart enough to connect them all yourself, and I think you're going to shine. I really think you're going to do such an incredible job, and we're obviously going to miss you a lot on the show. And there's this song. I mean, I hate this artist, but my dad used to listen to her all the time when I was a kid. And she sang a song that was written for her by the Bee Gees. So Maurice Barry and Robin Gibb. And it's a beautiful song and never really became a hit when she released it. And as I said, I can't stand her, but this song has something powerful to it. It's by Barbara Streisand, and it's called Run Wild. And the lyrics for the chorus go something like this. They go, run wild, out on the edge of time, child. Carry your dreams away. No one can hold you now because you are an island.
Oh.
Cheers. See you Monday.
Okay.
Bye, everybody. CliffCentral.com.